Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. He's talking about the Oscars.
Well, the Academy Awards have been bestowed in the year of 2025 for the year of 2024, and I just have to put in a little bit of commentary about that whole situation, and I'll kind of talk about both the good and the bad, I think. As for the good, there were some nice things that happened. One thing, as my old friend Ann Thompson in her fine online columns, Thompson on Hollywood, said, this was a really international Oscar year in a lot of ways. For example, I'm Still Here won the Best International Feature, and that is the first time that Brazil has ever won an Academy Award in a major category. No Other Land, which is a movie that's made by a collective of Palestinians, won for Best Documentary Feature, and that is the first time there has been a Palestinian win in the Academy Awards. And the animated feature Flow won in its category, and that is the first time that there has been a Latvian win for the Oscars. So that's very, very nice. They're, nice international slant to the Academy Awards that were given out. Also, I just want to mention Sean Baker, who is a writer, a director, a producer, an editor, all of those things, won four Oscars for Anora, and that is a top-line thing. I mean, that is a record, and that's quite remarkable because Sean Baker, a couple of interesting things about Sean Baker. One thing is that Sean Baker just not that many years ago, among his other movies, Tangerine, which was shot entirely with an iPhone. So a filmmaker is willing to take risks. And by the way, Tangerine is a sensational-looking movie. You never would have guessed it was shot with not the highest-level Hollywood equipment. So, quite remarkable. And also, even this movie, Anora, cost only $6 million. Now, $6 million is a lot of money. But my gosh, as a feature film budget for a major feature film, okay, it's just peanuts. So it really, really quite remarkable. And so it's really something that Sean Baker got all of these Academy Awards, producing, directing, editing, and writing the original screenplay. First time a person had won four Academy Awards for the same movie, and that is quite remarkable. However, on the other side of that, Anora is also one of the lowest earning Best Picture winners ever. So it's not a movie that's been getting a whole lot of profits rolling in. Maybe I'm sure that will change now to some extent, now that it's won all these Academy Awards. But my gosh, it's really interesting. So that's a curious fact, I think. Also, by the way, most of the movies, and this is according to the trade publication Variety, most of the movies that were honored this year at the Academy Awards were made by independent producers and companies. It may not be because the independents are making movies that are so much better than what the studios are making. It's because the studios, which are always, of course, geared totally toward profit, well, not totally, but almost totally, have really just kept on making all these franchise movies and these movies aimed at kids and teenagers and like that, and not the kind of supposedly adult-oriented movies that dominate the awards season. So you have blockbusters, yes, that got some Best Picture nominations. You had Wicked, which is the movie I really like a lot. You have Dune Part 2, which is a movie I'm very lukewarm about. But they only got their wins that they got at all in technical categories. Not the big categories, the ones that everybody pays attention to. So a very interesting kind of a situation with, both good and bad sort of mingled in there. So, those are some things that I think are good, or at least interesting, about the Academy Awards. How about the movies themselves? Okay, Anora is a movie that I'm really not crazy about. I think it's very nice that Sean Baker, a true independent spirit, won all these Academy Awards for that movie. And I think it's good that the movie got all these Academy Awards, even though it has not been rolling in the money. Very often the Academy Awards are about how much money a movie is making, or at least to some extent about that. And that's evidently not the case with Anora. So, okay, it's very nice that got these. On the other hand, I am not crazy about Panora. I said this back when the movie opened. I think that it's just a movie where things go on much, 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 much longer than they have to go on. It makes the movie too long, and it makes the individual parts of the movie too long. So at the beginning, you have this couple, and they meet, and they start having sex. And then for something like 45 minutes, it's just one sex scene after another while these characters have sex, sex, sex. Then one of the characters disappears and they go looking for that character. And then you have about 45 minutes where they're looking all over the place for that character. It's just not really very interesting. I think the movie gets more interesting in its very last part. But, well, I just didn't think it was that terrific a film. On the other hand, I'm glad that Anora won these things, because one of the things that that means is that The Substance did not win these things. And I think The Substance is a terrible movie. It is just overkill. I've said this before again when that movie came out, but an example of why I don't like The Substance, or something that kind of sums up my dislike for The Substance. The very beginning, we have Dennis Quaid, and he is talking, and we have a scene where we got to hear what he has to say at the very beginning of the film. Okay, so he is shouting. It is not necessary that he shout. The camera is right there. The microphones are right there. He doesn't have to shout, but that's the kind of overkill that The Substance engages in. He shouts. Then also, the camera is pushed right up against his face. It's an extreme close-up filling the whole screen. Again, unnecessary overkill, especially while he is shouting at the same time. Then on top of that, there is a wide-angle lens used that kind of spreads his face over the whole screen. Again, overkill, overkill, overkill. Any one of those devices might have been already too much, but all three of them, and the whole movie goes on that way. It just hits you over the head with everything. It gives you absolutely no credit for being able to watch the movie on your own and figure out what it's about and kind of decide your own emotions. It just hits you and hits you and hits you. And oh, I just think that was just way, way, way too much. So, okay, Anora is a movie I'm not crazy about, but it's way better than The Substance. And so I'm glad that that at least Anora, if it had to be one of those two movies, is the one that cleaned up all of those awards. Another thing that's interesting about the Academy Awards this year is that there were controversies, and this has been widely reported. I won't go on and on about them. One controversy has to do with one of the nominees nominated for playing the main role in Emilia Perez, a movie I really do like a lot. I think it's a really good picture. But my gosh, there were all kinds of controversies because the actress said things that were Islamophobic, apparently, and said things about the George Floyd killing and so forth that really turned off a lot of Hollywood people, and also criticized the whole idea of the Oscars in some respects. And on top of that, there had already been criticism of how Emilia Perez depicts Mexico. It's made by a French filmmaker, Jacques Audiard. And there's only one Mexican native who has a major role in that picture, Adriana Paz. And anyway, that was another thing. And the French director, Jacques Audiard, had said once in an interview, Spanish is the language of modest countries, of developing countries, of the poor and migrants. So, okay, that is not the kind of thing that you say if you really want to just be making a good impression on the public. And if you want to be making a good impression as a good person, you know, it's kind of a bigoted thing to say. So, I mean, you know, what are you talking about the Spanish language like this, especially when you're making a movie or you just made a movie, which just takes place in Mexico. So there were controversies about that, too. Now, I'm not going to go on about the controversies themselves. But the point is that one of the reasons why the Oscars were instituted in the first place, and one of the reasons why they still exist, is to cast the movie industry itself in a good light, to make people feel good about Hollywood and about the independence and about the whole movie-making enterprise in America and around the world. And things like that just don't help. They just don't help at all. Then there was another totally different kind of controversy about The Brutalist. And this, I think, is actually more interesting in some ways, because AI was used in the making of The Brutalist. Now, AI was used in the making of a number of films. And I think if you have a movie like Wicked, where the whole thing is visual effects, and I'll repeat, Wicked is a movie that I really like a lot. And so, you know, I wish it had won more stuff than it did. But Wicked, of course, with a movie like that, everybody can just see that there must be all kinds of artificial means used in making this movie. But AI was used in more subtle ways in The Brutalist. The Brutalist is, of course, about a very great architect who comes from Hungary to the United States and struggles to get a foothold and then eventually becomes a major architect and all kinds of things happen. And it's a very long movie. And in many ways, an interesting movie. I don't think it's a great movie, but yeah, it has a whole lot going on for it. But AI was used there. One area where AI was used was in the treatment of Adrian Brody's voice. So this is interesting because Adrian Brody was a big winner on Oscar night. And okay, AI was used apparently to tweak his Hungarian accent. Well, first of all, I think it's kind of unfortunate. You would think that an actor of Adrian Brody's status, he has won a Best Actor award before. He was an Oscar winner quite a number of years ago for a totally different kind of a movie, The Pianist, the Roman Polanski movie. But, you know, you'd think that an actor of that amount of skill and fame and celebrity would be able to manage a convincing Hungarian accent, and that one of the things that we'd be able to judge the performance by is, you know, how persuasive that Hungarian accent was. So I guess, yeah, it's a little bit of sort of cheating that AI was used in the tweaking, the sort of fine-tuning of the Hungarian accent. On the other hand, I don't really care. I mean, movies are about illusion. What is the old nickname for Hollywood? It is Tinseltown. Everybody knows that Hollywood is about just sort of, you know, making stuff up and putting on spectacles for the public to enjoy. I personally have no problems with AI being used for Adrian Brody's Hungarian accent or for most other things. Yes, if a movie tells us that it's authentic, 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 and then kind of cheating was used to create the effects that we see, then I guess that's not right. But this is a big, spectacular, long movie. And, you know, I think it's very nice that they were able to use various other kinds of means in order to, you know, in order to get the kinds of effects that they wanted on the screen and on the soundtrack and so forth and so on. So I personally don't think that's a big deal. I'd like to return now to close up to one other movie that I already mentioned earlier, and that is the Best Documentary winner, No Other Land. This is a really interesting movie. It was made by four directors. They are activists. They are Palestinian and Israeli. And they made their movie as a political intervention in all the stuff that's been going on in that part of the world. And it really is, in many ways, a very interesting movie. I think it's important, and I hope that people go to see it. And I'm very glad that it won its award. I think that's it was very deserved. That said, however, it could be a better movie, I think. It's a very good movie. It's a very interesting movie. It's a very thoughtful movie. It is certainly a very committed movie in all kinds of ways. But here's the point I want to make about No Other Land. It deals with one situation. There have been people being displaced from this area in the West Bank. And what we see is a record of what's been going on with the gradual destruction of this little area in the West Bank. Israeli soldiers are tearing down homes and evicting people and displacing them and kicking them out of their own homes and their own region. Okay, so that's the kind of thing that we all know has been going on in that part of the world for a very long time. The good thing about No Other Land is that it really does take care of the situation. It really does show what's going on there. And my gosh, it really gets your blood boiling, if you're me at least, over the human cost of this, the human meanings of this, the human resonance of this. It's a very humane film, and it really shows the incredible amount of suffering and disruption and horror, actually, that people undergo in situations like that. Right now, they're still happening. The trouble with the movie No Other Land is that it really deals with this one situation, this one ongoing situation. Now, that enables the filmmakers get to be fairly deeply into the situation to give a pretty good understanding of what's going on, but it doesn't really make clear the broader implications, what's going on outside of that particular community, what's going on outside of that little particular place. So that's the limitation of it. So on the one hand, it has this good narrow focus that lets us have a what we call nowadays a deep dive into one particular situation, but it really does deprive us of broader insights into the larger meanings and implications and resonances of all this. That said, I think it's wonderful that No Other Land won the award. And by the way, No Other Land still does not have a regular American distributor to put it into theaters everywhere. So it's a little bit tricky to see. I hope people do seek it out. It's worth seeing whatever your politics are, whatever your feelings are about the troubles in the Middle East. This is a movie that has a real human resonance, a real human meaning, and it really deserves to be seen. And maybe now, finally, that it's got an Oscar for Best Documentary, it will finally get that long-awaited American distributor to put it in theaters everywhere. So that is my Oscar-oriented story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterritt, Films in Focus, the Oscars.
Films in Focus with David Sterritt is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.